So this evening, I wanted to speak about how we can, use the practice to live in the middle of all of this huge chaos, which is becoming more and more apparent, and at the same time, not, losing our marbles, not losing faith in the process, because I have no doubt that there's something going on, which is leading us in the right direction. But sometimes, circumstances are getting extremely tenuous, And this is, I think, that has always been that way. But through modern technology and, the increasing population on this planet, there is, it's just like displays itself in a different way than before. And for me it becomes obvious, practice isn't something we can do if we feel like it, but it becomes more and more like the most important thing, really. The only thing really which makes sense anymore now. And we have been living, I feel like, in a like a parent-child relationship, towards the planet, towards the universe, in a way, like, us wanting this and wanting that, and not taking responsibility really for our ways of behaving ourselves and relating, And then, when chaos breaks loose, then somehow, that inner child wakes up, and there's even more like looking for some kind of somebody who tells us, what to do, or somebody who is gonna clean up the mess, some politicians or God, or I don't know, anybody. And I think this situation makes it very clear for me that, we have to really grow up and grow out of that way of imagining ourselves in the world, that paradigm of, being okay to be like in a childlike state and not taking responsibility for our part. And I mean, every person, every single person. It's not, that there's a few people who can just like take on that maturing and then lead everybody else out of the chaos. But I think everybody has to do what they can, to speed up that maturing process. And I think practice is the way to do it. To voluntarily make decisions about, how we organize our lives, and trying, to really do what we can to pay attention to what's happening and allow ourselves to be changed by that. By just facing towards the difficulties, facing towards the chaos, and and building our lives around that most important thing is, to develop that resiliency and to support ourselves so we can really be with what's happening and not distracting ourselves. And we need to take breaks, we need to take, we need to look after ourselves, that's clear. But to know, what is our responsibility. As we are, waking up more and more to the fact that the way how we live is not insignificant. It can take a whole planet in a complete different direction, because we are just in the midst of that. And so, waking up from that child position and coming out of that paradigm, which was appropriate, to our evolutionary kind of position, but now, We have actually created the circumstances which force us to wake up and to grow up. And I think, there's a much greater intelligence operating behind all of this. So I don't think anything is going wrong. But I do think, we really need to be careful. And we really need to do what we can to hone, our equipment, which we have gotten as a human being. We have this body, this mind heart, which has these qualities, which we can train through practice, and the Buddha's teaching is one way, how that can be done, and it's, I think, a particularly practical teaching, which has very clear instructions, in particular, the meditation instructions, how we can actually tune the natural equipment which we have with the body and mind and the heart to really tune those qualities and increase their power and increase their precision through meditation in particular. And that's what we call the seven factors of awakening, for example. They are like seven qualities of the mind which are innate to anybody's mind, and we can choose, to cultivate those to their full potential. And the full potential is nothing less than enlightenment. And the Noble Eightfold Path is this ancient path which the Buddha Shakyamuni has rediscovered like about 2,600 years ago when he realized, full enlightenment. And he hasn't invented this path, but he has rediscovered it. And it's basically one way how the cosmic law, can be explained. And the Buddha has, called that the Noble Eightfold Path, and it's a universal law how things work, And I'd like to read you a quote from the Samyutta Nikaya, which is very beautiful, and it's called the sutta is called The City. And here the Buddha says, suppose, monks, a man or a woman wandering through a forest would see an ancient path, an ancient road traveled upon by people in the past. He would follow it and would see an ancient city, an ancient capital that had been inhabited by people in the past, with parks, groves, ponds and ramparts, a delightful place. Then the man would inform the king or royal minister, "Sire, know that while wandering through the forest, I saw an ancient path, an ancient road traveled upon by people in the past. I followed it and saw an ancient city, an ancient capital that had been inhabited by people in the past, with parks, groves, ponds and ramparts, a delightful place, renovated city, sire." Then the king or the royal minister would renovate the city, and sometime later that city would become successful and prosperous, well populated, filled with people, attained to growth and expansion. So too, monastics, I saw the ancient path, the ancient road traveled by the perfectly enlightened ones of the past. And what is that ancient path, that ancient road? It is just this Noble Eightfold Path, that is, right view, right intention, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. I follow that path, and by doing so, I have directly known aging and death, its origin, its cessation, and the way leading to its cessation. And then, you know, he also, it goes on, and I have directly known birth, and directly known clinging, craving, and so on. He goes through the whole Paticcasamuppada to the, so that's just a little part of that sutta, but I think it's a very beautiful simile, speaking of this ancient city. You know, this ancient road, which has been traveled by so many before us. And we have the good fortune, you know, to have that knowledge. And we can, you know, put that knowledge into practice. And then through that, you know, living in that way and doing the best we can, you know, ripen this capacity of our mind. And you know, the Noble Eightfold Path is not just an ethical path, but it's a mind cultivation path, which is based, you know, on the five precepts as a minimum. And you know, it's often described as you know, a very short, in a nutshell, it's spoken about: avoid what is unskillful, do what is good, and purify the mind. That's the Ovarapadimokkha, which is like the short version, you know. And it speaks about, you know, first we need to abstain from unwholesome things, and then after, you know, that has been done, the next part is to cultivate the wholesome. And then, if that is done, you know, it will ripen in letting go. You know, letting go of ignorance, really. And, you know, and we can see how necessary that is right now, as we can really see how this ignorance is having huge repercussions. Because the way, you know, how we are living is you know, really like very much unawares, you know, what repercussions our way of living has. And you know, and then waking up to it and being kind of in complete chaos, not really knowing how to respond, because it's such a complex society, it's such a complex situation. And then, you know, we really need to recognize that this has obviously a lot to do with our minds. That, you know, what we are creating is just like the mirror image of how our minds are. And how important it is, you know, that we are taking advantage of this opportunity of the Noble Eightfold Path. And then, you know, it's not that then everything will be magically solved, of course not, you know, but at least, you know, it gives us a foundation from which we can open ourselves to this human enterprise, you know, which we are all part of. And, you know, to do our part, basically, to do what we can. And, you know, to open ourselves to what is happening, and to, through that opening, you know, and by standing on this foundation of the Noble Eightfold Path, we have the support, you know, to open and to respond, rather than, you know, just trying to shut ourselves off from this uncertainty, you know, how is going to, is it going to work out? But just rather, you know, really kind of participate in that process, which is like, you know, an evolutionary and a spiritual process, you know, happening at the same time. And I think, you know, the spiritual path is really the most worthwhile thing what we can do with our lives. You know, not only for ourselves, but also, you know, what we can give to others through learning, you know, to develop the capacity to be with discomfort, you know, discomfort in the body, discomfort in the mind, discomfort in the heart. You know, the discomfort which comes when the going gets tough. And I think at this time, this is really the core competency we have to develop, that tolerance, you know, for being in this time where we are transitioning from an old world view, you know, where we are seeing ourselves like as spoiled children who try to get everything they want from their parents and not wanting to take any responsibility. Growing out of that into a different way of being in the world. And you know, and they cannot be learned other than through experience. We can't like learn that, you know, just like theoretically from the books or so. But it really has to come from, you know, enacting what we know to be true. You know, being motivated by compassion for all beings, you know, we are sharing this planet with. And I think, you know, that is how it always is going to be. You know, that's how wisdom is cultivated. You know, wisdom in the sense of us, you know, growing up, maturing on, in a spiritual level, but also in an evolutionary way. You know, where we are seeing very clearly that if we are just, you know, looking out for ourselves, it just doesn't work because of the complete and utter interconnectedness of everything. And there's this very beautiful quote by Thich Nhat Hanh. He says, you know, we are here to awaken from the illusion of our separateness. You know, that's why we are here on this planet. We are not here to just, you know, enjoy ourselves and get what we want, but we are here to wake up from the illusion of our separateness. Or you can also call that, you know, to wake up to the fact of everything is empty of separate core. Everything is doesn't exist from its own side, but everything is a process. Our bodies and, you know, everything. All phenomena are processes. And, you know, and through cultivating our minds, we are able to, we can, you know, when I'm saying this or when I'm reading this, we can theoretically understand it, but obviously, I know we haven't really fully understood it because otherwise we would live differently. And, so that's, you know, that's really what this situation now is really calling us to take on that duty, really, to realize more fully our potential. And I think, you know, really compassion and the Brahma Viharas are the only way, I feel, you know, how we can master the courage to actually enter more fully into the arena of life. And because, you know, this Noble Eightfold Path is a path of healing, you know, healing the heart, healing the mind, and through that the body, and you know, and the ways how we are living in community, and healing, you know, that split in the mind, that dualism, you know, which is always about wanting more pleasant and wanting less unpleasant, you know, judging every experience from that viewpoint. Because the Noble Eightfold Path is certainly not about satisfying the ego, you know, it's not satisfying those wishes. But it's, you know, kind of freeing us from ignorance. And, you know, and the most encompassing way of how to express that, what the ignorance is, you know, the illusion of separateness. And we are seeing, you know, in this time that this illusion of separateness is now getting to the point that is going to, you know, really kill us as a species, because it's said, you know, by the end of this century, you know, temperatures will have risen to a degree that it's going to be increasingly impossible to exist in quite a few places on this planet, which will wreak a lot of havoc, of course. And, you know, and if you look back in history, I mean, these situations have happened again and again, you know, that, but because there were less people living on the planet, it was less involved less death, I suppose, you know, than what we are looking towards. So it's a really serious journey we are on. But we do have this Noble Eightfold Path, you know, this ancient road which has been traveled on, you know, by many, many realized beings before us, and we have the instructions, we have the equipment, we have everything needed, you know. And when the going gets tough, you know, that's the only thing which makes sense. And it isn't about, you know, surviving, you know, to not dying or something, because we need to die anyway. But it's about, you know, dying well and doing the best we can for the time we are still around, you know, and cultivating those factors of enlightenment, you know, to, you know, cultivating fearlessness, so we can really leap into the unknown, because we don't know what's going to happen. And I think it's much better to just be with the not knowing than to, because there's so many different theories of what is going to happen. And I think it's very important to keep an open mind. and to really practice, you know, the Noble Eightfold Path, which is certainly not rocket science, you know. And even, you know, it's leading us towards greater and greater capacity to embrace the mystery of being part of this journey, you know, as human being on the planet. But the details of the path are very clear, and they are not arbitrary. So it's really important, you know, to keep the open mind, keep a wide view, and at the same time focusing on the details of the path, you know, which are based on the five precepts, for example. It's a very clear detail. And there's a beautiful poem in the Bhikkhuni Arahant book about the path, and it's Bhikkhuni Bhadra. Her name means lucky. And she said, "You always considered yourself lucky because things seemed to work out the way you wanted. Now luck has a different meaning. Lucky to be walking a path that finds peace in the arising and passing away of each present moment, regardless of how things work out or don't." And you know, and this is where I really take great solace in, that regardless of how things work out or not, we do have this Noble Eightfold Path, and it's not dependent, you know, on if we get what we want and if we can, you know, prevent this or that. But it's more about, you know, doing the best we can, and then we have to let go. And from that cultivation, you know, we really do become more and more resilient, to know when there is something we can do and to do it. It's certainly not about, you know, turning away and just like sitting on the cushion and not acting. It is, but it's bringing us a balance within that. And you know, there's this story which I have told, you know, probably a few times already in the past, but I want to share it again because I really like it, and I haven't shared it for quite some time now, so I think I can pull it out again. There's the story of this old, you know, the old farmer who has only one horse in order, you know, to kind of plow his fields. And one day the horse runs away. And then everybody in the village say, "Oh, you know, the poor farmer, the horse has run away, and now he doesn't have help, you know, for plowing his field. This is all really terrible." And the farmer is a wise man, and he says, "Who knows? Let's see." And then, you know, 2 days later, the horse comes back, and it brings with it brings two more horses. So suddenly he has three horses. Hey, wonderful. Everybody says, "Wow, he's so lucky. Now he has three horses. Isn't that great?" And he says, "Who knows? Let's see." And then his son, you know, is helping to train those two new horses who came along, and he gets, you know, he gets thrown off the horse and breaks his leg. And then everybody says again, "Oh, the poor farmer, you know, his son broke his leg, and now he can't help his father to plow the fields, and isn't that all terrible?" And the man says, "Who knows? Let's see." So I think you get the gist of the story. And then, you know, people are coming from the capital, and they want to recruit soldiers for the war. So they're gonna come and recruit all of the young, able-bodied men, but the son doesn't have to go because he has a broken leg. you know. And then everybody says again, oh, isn't he lucky, you know, his son doesn't have to go because he has a broken leg, and on and on and on like this, you know. And this is life, I think. It's a very good story, you know. And of course, you know, it's not funny what's happening on the planet right now. It's absolutely not funny. But I think you know what I mean, you know. Sometimes we have to go through very, very narrow passageways in order to be squeezed enough so that we mature. Because, you know, it's a mysterious universe. And, you know, we do have modern science, and science has, you know, been able to present certain ways of thinking about what's happening out there or in there, but really, we don't know. We don't know what this is all about. But we do know, you know, that actions with intention have repercussions. They have results, the law of karma. And we do know, you know, that life doesn't end with death, but death is only the opposite of birth. And I think, you know, that's really when the going gets tough and when things don't make much sense and there's a lot of chaos, then it's really good to remember that. And you know this, I'm reading it again. Where did I put the book here? This poem by Bhadra. You know, lucky to be walking a path that finds peace in the arising and passing away of each present moment, regardless of how things work out or don't. Because, you know, this Noble Eightfold Path is really, you know, chipping away at the ego, chipping away at our, you know, preferences and, you know, maturing more and more as beings so that we, you know, letting go of that need of judging things as good and bad in terms of, you know, if it's like, you know, supporting our agenda or not. But we do know, you know, from the Noble Eightfold Path, we know what's wholesome and what's unwholesome. And I think this is what we have to focus on. You know, in our minds, in our speech, in our action, this is what we can focus on. And we can start wherever we are, you know. We can start every time we slip, we can start again. And you know, we do have this very ancient path which has been walked by many, many before us. And I think it's a great good fortune, you know, in the midst of the storm, we do have that clarity, and we can come back to that clarity again and again. And you know, and now it's, you know, the most important thing is to really gain as much as possible, you know, familiarize ourselves with it. So that, you know, even when we are really challenged, we can remember and we can keep our hearts open. and you know, and do what we can. And trusting the process. But not, you know, like as a child, trusting the process, thinking, oh, mommy and puppy, you know, will take care of me, but trusting the process in the sense of, you know, there are laws of nature operating, and, you know, the action with intention bears fruit. We can trust that. And we can trust, you know, in the meditation instructions, that we can learn, you know, how to become conscious of how our mind works. And there are, you know, instructions how we can cultivate, and we can, you know, bring that mind stream in the right direction. That we can do. So I think, you know, that's what I wanted to share with you, and reading that quote of Thich Nhat Hanh one more time. We are here to awaken from the illusion of our separateness. That's what we have come, you know, to this planet for. So, you know, I like to stop here, and then we have like another 10 minutes or so. If any one of you maybe wants to make a comment or.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.